on today's Run to the Top podcast.
You know, ever since I've really adopted the whole food plant-based diet versus just a vegan diet, I haven't had any issues at all. I continue to run and play football every week and do all the things that I've always done. And I haven't had any issues in terms of fatigue or, you know, a lack of protein, muscle loss, none of that.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. On today's episode, we are interviewing Michael Matern, founder of the blog Life Without the Box, where I read a super article about going vegan, what, why, and how to go vegan. I know this is a subject of interest to a lot of our listeners, so I invited Michael to speak to us and shed some light on the concept and how he and his wife have been practicing a vegan lifestyle. Michael Matern, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Michael Matern grew up in the farm country of Northeast Pennsylvania near Scranton. He has been an active and outdoorsy person since early on in life, working on farms and playing sports, including basketball, football, and running hurdles in track and field in high school. He continued to live an active and healthy life through college and into his working years by maintaining a morning habit of running and playing in club sports. Mike and his wife, Lexi, currently live in Tampa, Florida, but frequently travel around the country to visit state and national parks for hiking and sightseeing. A few years ago, with the help and encouragement from Lexi, his wife, he adopted the vegan diet and more recently a whole food plant-based diet. Today, we have a chance to discuss Michael's whole food plant-based diet and the interesting article he wrote called Veganism, What, Why, and How. Let's explore Michael's connection to veganism after our four basic intro questions. Ready for this, Mike?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. So how old are you now? I'm going to give you all four questions.
I am 29 years old.
Wow. All right. And where were you born?
Honesdale, Pennsylvania.
Interesting. What town or city do you currently live in?
That'd be Tampa, Florida.
And what kind of outdoor activities do you enjoy on a regular basis?
Yeah, so I do go for a morning jog pretty much every day. I do end up skipping once in a while, but I also participate in flag football, club sport here in Tampa. And I used to surf a lot when I lived on the east coast of Florida, but now I do a little bit more of stand-up paddle boarding over here on the west coast where there aren't as many waves.
So it sounds like you've had pretty active life all of your life. And that is one of the questions I've got for you today about being a vegan and having enough energy to do activities and be involved in athletic kinds of events. But let's start off with what is your definition to share with our listeners?
Yeah, sure. So to me, you know, I really like the definition that just comes from Wikipedia. I think it's simple and it kind of sums it up. Veganism is the practice of abstaining from the use of animal products, particularly in the diet, and an associated philosophy that rejects the commodity status of animals.
I thought that was a great definition, and I think your article goes on along with that same type of attitude about being a vegan and veganism. So let's talk about the what part of what brought you into being a vegan.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, as I explained, I've definitely been an active person my entire life, but you know, I grew up in a rural town, Northeast PA. It was really dairy country USA. There was probably more cows in the county than there were people where I grew up. And our high school actually even celebrated Dairy Day. So they would shut down the entire school and they would bring in all the local dairy farmers and you would try their homemade ice cream and milk and everything. So I definitely did not grow up vegan. You know, I grew up eating tons of seafood, you know, ribs, barbecue, everything that you could imagine, pizza. Mm-hmm. It was just like a garbage bin disposal growing up. I would eat anything I could get my hands on. So it wasn't until, you know, near the end of college, I guess metabolism started to slow down a little bit on me. And as I get into the workforce, really is when it started, sitting in a desk, 9-10 hours a day, sometimes working a 9-to-5 or 9-to-6 or sometimes 7 job. And the ability to just eat whatever I wanted and maintain, you know, the physique and the athleticism that I had prior, I wasn't able to maintain that on the same diet anymore. So the combination of that, along with me meeting my wife, Lexi, and her family, specifically her father, Dr. James Greathouse, who is a chiropractor and really focuses on a holistic nutrition-based wellness program. The two of them are really the ones that introduced me to the concept of veganism, as well as really introduced me to some of the first resources that really exposed me to the information about, you know, why you would want to transition to a vegan lifestyle. And I just continued to, you know, I've been a very, I guess I'm definitely a math and science kind of guy, and I really want to see the details and the data and the facts. So I was very skeptical, actually, for the first, you know, months to a year. I really was kind of defensive to my old eating habits, because, as I said, I really grew up not eating that way at all and not being a part of that lifestyle. So it took me a while, and I had to watch a bunch of documentaries and read a couple books. And, you know, I'm still to this day, you know, reading articles and things, just trying to really understand the science behind it, because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist, but I feel like I've definitely seen enough data, I've read enough summaries of, you know, studies that have been conducted to be convinced that it's definitely a way to live a healthy lifestyle. And there's a lot of other things, not only health related, that go into my decision to, you know, adopt the vegan diet and lifestyle.
Yeah, I can appreciate that based on the definition that you started with, there's more to it than just not eating meat. And that's something that I've looked into as well, because I was curious about the difference between veganism and vegetarianism, which is kind of a catch-all phrase. And I know there's a lot of confusion between the two. I think veganism is much more specific and really has maybe a higher level of ethics that go along with it, as well as a level of health that is beneficial for most people. I have a question for you as far as T. Colin Campbell. Have you read his books?
Yeah, I have. I've read a good, I'll admit I haven't read it from cover to cover, but I've read a good portion of his book, The China Study, and some of his other, you know, information. And his website is a resource that I reference frequently.
Yeah. Now he, like you, grew up in dairy country and lived on a dairy farm, from what I understand. So he went through a transition similar to yours, maybe for slightly different reasons, but he did end up, he's a vegan and has been for a long time. So moving on from that, what about the why of veganism? Can you talk about that some?
Yeah. So for me, there's three contributing factors that are coming into play when I really made the decision to try and stick with a vegan diet. And, you know, the first are the personal health issues. Like I said, I was starting to gain a little bit of weight. And my wife's father introduced me to a lot of information about, you know, heart disease and, you know, potential links between certain, you know, processed meats and red meats and certain types of cancers, you know, and just, you know, fat content in a lot of animal foods, especially, you know, dairy products. And so that was, you know, one of the main driving factors for me at first was definitely personal health. But then also, you know, as I opened my mind to the animal ethics was another issue that I had to really, you know, come to terms with after seeing some of the documentaries that show the realities of, you know, the industrial farming methods that we use in this country. You know, a lot of the laws and rules that are in place for, you know, like cats and dogs and animals that we would consider pets, they don't necessarily apply to animals that are considered livestock. So a lot of the things that happen in, you know, factory farms or just the industrialized agriculture business are things that I definitely didn't want to be a part of, you know, putting my dollars towards contributing to any of those things. Because, you know, I told you, I grew up in farm country, but, I mean, I worked on, you know, dairy, worked on farms with sheep and stuff. And actually it was one time, I was working on this farm and I had to kind of participate in the butchering of a sheep. And, you know, growing up being an animal lover, my dad didn't hunt or anything. You know, I had a dog growing up and just experiencing that firsthand, you know, and seeing what actually has to happen to bring an animal to your plate, it really kind of opened my eyes. And then, you know, being reminded of that when I saw these documentaries, it really made me reflect and think on, you know, is this really a decision on a daily basis I want to make, knowing, you know, that these animals actually, you know, are conscious beings and they have feelings and thoughts, you know, not that dissimilar from our own and other animals. So that's a big part of it for me too, is the ethical treatment of the animals. And then third, is environmentally, there's a lot of ways that the environment is impacted negatively by, you know, agriculture, the industrialized agriculture and factory farming. And there's an entire website that I actually have linked to on my blog. It goes into in great detail about the entire life cycle of meat specifically, you know, the transportation and the water that is used just to bring, you know, cattle from the farms to your plate, different pesticides and fertilizer that are used, and those things run off into streams and lakes. And even right in my backyard here in Tampa, Florida, we're starting to experience some of that, you know, with these, the red algae plumes, or the red tide. I don't know if that story has made it out your way to that part of the country, but it's been a big issue here the last couple of weeks, and it's a naturally occurring phenomenon, but the pesticides and the fertilizer runoff from farms and people's yards and stuff are contributing to this issue. And then you've also got the fact that, you know, the majority of feed production in our country is actually used to feed animals. So, you know, we're producing a lot of corn and soy that is just being used to feed animals, which we then eat. So if you kind of skipped the animal part of that equation, you could provide a lot of food directly to people instead of, you know, having it go through animals and then to us. And then again, you know, environmentally, you've got just these huge, massive factory farms and slaughterhouses that are using a lot of energy and taking up a lot of land that could be used in better ways. And you know, when you just kind of look at all of that on the whole, you know, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are going to be most interested in the nutrition side of a vegan diet and if it really works for them. But if that's not enough, you know, as you expose yourself to the realities of the animal ethics and the environmental impact of, you know, the standard American diet, which includes a lot of meat and dairy products, you start to realize that there's more to it than just a health decision. There's other aspects.
Yeah, I wanted to actually ask you a couple of maybe clarification questions on this or resources on this, because you've mentioned watching movies and reading books and reading articles. Could you mention a couple of those movies? I know they're on your website, and I know I've looked into this quite a bit because it's fascinating, and there's a lot of entertaining resources. You know, these movies, while they're somewhat disturbing, they're also very compelling. I mean, just like you can't stop watching them, you know. So could you mention a couple of resources that you've got that you think would be of interest to people who are pretty new into looking at veganism?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the very first ones that I saw and was one of the most impactful to me that I've gone to multiple times is Forks Over Knives.
Great one.
A really good one. And it's really well done. You know, some of them initially I was even turned off to and defensive of, because at times, and that was one of the things I wanted to achieve in my post, was try to, you know, create not an attacking, you know, method or tone in the information, because a lot of people really, you know, they get their identity almost from what they eat, but just really trying to present the information in a logical way, in a non-biased way, so that the observer of the information can make an educated decision, you know, based on the facts and not necessarily emotions of it. Although, you know, that does come into play definitely on the ethical side.
Yeah, and that's part of what you've been saying.
Yeah, the Fork, Silver, Knives is definitely a good starter one. What the Hell is the name of another one that I've seen, and really touches in on some other issues related to how policies have been made and how corporations and their advertising spending kind of come into the equation. Mm-hmm. Educated is another one that was really well done and kind of tracks a couple of different individuals through their experience transitioning to a vegan diet. And I really liked that one. That one was a really well done documentary. It was very, it definitely didn't feel like it was trying to attack anybody's, you know, beliefs or lifestyle or anything like that. It was very educational.
Yeah.
And then a book that I read that really resonated with me and did a great job of summarizing the facts and kind of simplifying some of the science is The Engine 2 Diet. Mm. And that was a really good book that I've definitely referenced a lot in my studies and just trying to educate myself and re-motivate myself if I ever start to feel like potentially swaying, you know, falling off the wagon. So,
you know, one of the things about these kind of books and especially books is that if they come in audio form, then our listeners can listen to them while they're running, you know, which is always, as you know,
you're a runner.
So, you know, having entertainment that can also be informative and educational is a great, great way to spend your time.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good one. The Engine 2 Diet, I would definitely recommend it because again, you know, I'm blanking on the author's name. I'm sorry, but he was he's a firefighter, and so definitely a very active lifestyle. And you know, he's a strong advocate for it, and he's, you know, kind of put some of his firehouse, you know, friends through the gauntlet, as he would call it, and you know, just has studied their key metrics, you know, in terms of blood pressure, you know, cholesterol levels, things like that, and. It's just really interesting to see the results.
Wow. Now, we are going to move on here to the how of being a vegan. We're going to get back to some of these finer tuning points as well. But how do you practice veganism? How does one practice veganism?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, the vegan diet, you know, I touched on this a bit in the what, but it really eliminates all animal products. And that includes, you know, meat, the actual flesh, whether it's fish, chicken, seafood, you know, red meat, all dairy, you know, yogurt, milk, cheeses, eggs, anything like that. But just because it's a vegan diet doesn't necessarily mean it's a healthy one. I mean, an Oreo is a vegan snack, and you know, a potato chip is a vegan snack, and you know, alcohol is vegan. So just because someone says that they're, you know, a vegan doesn't necessarily mean they're healthy. So that's where I really have, over the past few months to a year, have gravitated more towards the term a whole food plant-based diet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's definitely where T. Colin Campbell has helped take my nutrition to that next level.
Right.
Because you need to focus in on, you know, the whole foods, you know, the non-processed things, and just really making sure that you're getting all the nutrients you need. Because, you know, one of the biggest, you know, questions that you get as a vegan is like, well, where do you get your protein from? You know,
and
most people, vegans included, aren't going to hit a vegan deficiency, you know, unless they're not eating enough calories, but it is possible to do on a vegan diet. But as long as you're eating a balanced whole food diet, if you're eating legumes, you know, if you're eating beans and lentils, things of that nature, mm-hmm. you know, mixed with a good amount of different leafy greens and different vegetables, and you're going to be able to meet all your nutritional needs. So,
yeah, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that in terms of protein and, you know, how much you've looked into it, because of course vegetables have protein in them too. And I'd love to have you elaborate a bit on that, but I also would like you to talk about what you eat in a day and how that affects your energy levels.
Yeah, sure. So I guess just to run through one of my standard daily routines is I definitely start off with a nice hearty bowl of oatmeal. Or sometimes I'll do, you know, what I like to call a berry bowl. And it's just, you know, a lot of granola, you know, good grains with mixed with a variety of fruits, maybe blueberries, strawberries. I'll sprinkle some chia seeds on there and then maybe do some, you know, agave syrup or something like that. And then throughout the day, I'll eat a couple things of fruit. I'll have a banana. I'll have an apple. I'll have maybe, you know, some of the baby carrots or some celery and peanut butter, something like that as snacks throughout the day. And then for dinner, you know, our big go-to is kind of a Chipotle style burrito bowl. So, you know, we'll have some sort of a grain in there, whether it's, you know, rice or quinoa, something like that. Then we'll definitely have some beans in our meal as well. And then a mixture of leafy greens, you know, lettuce, kale, collards, and then some avocado, mushrooms, just really whatever we feel like having that day. You can, it's incredible how much a variety you can have with just that one meal, you know, a burrito bowl. You can, depending on what vegetables you choose to throw in it one day or what kind of seasoning or sauce you throw on top of it, it can be a different flavor every day.
So, and really healthy.
Yeah. And, you know, we do from time to time, if you want to call it a cheat day, you know, we'll cheat with something like the different meat substitutes. You know, Beyond Meat has one of the best burgers that I've had. Honestly, not even just a vegan or vegetarian burger, just in general, I think they're some of the best tasting burgers I've ever had. So,
wow.
And even places like TGI Fridays has now offered them on their menu. So it's exciting. It's actually, it's an exciting time to be a vegan because a lot of places are starting, I think, to recognize the health benefits and recognize the trend. And they're starting to offer a lot of these different replacements. So, you know, if you just don't feel like throwing together a salad or a burrito bowl or making a, you know, more detailed meal that might take a little more time, there's a lot of places now that are starting to offer things, even if you want to go and eat out. So
you can still have a social life and actually eat according to a vegan concept. That was a question I had for you in terms of food shopping and food preparation. How much time do you spend in a week in food shopping and food preparation? And how does that come together for you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I will say that I definitely have a pretty easy to please palate. So, you know, sometimes we'll just make one large quantity of, like I said, for burrito bowls. If you just have like a big you know, pot of beans and you've got a bunch of rice or quinoa, and then you just have some pre-chopped up you know, veggies, you can just sprinkle them on there. You know, it takes prep work you know, early in the week to get all that stuff diced up and ready to go. But throughout the week, it's actually really quick and easy to put it together. You know, you just take a handful or, you know, a couple scoops of each thing and you throw it on and it's ready to go.
And you work full time, right?
Yeah, I do. I work as a real estate developer here in Tampa. So,
and your wife, is she working full time too?
She actually just stopped working. She was working full time on a local organic farm, actually, Sweetwater Farms here in Tampa. So
nice.
We were getting, that was an even a great benefit of her employment was that she was able to bring home a lot of you know, fresh organic produce. So, no, that definitely helped us out. But yeah, we were both working full time and able to make it work.
Yeah. Now, if she's not working as much, then probably she's going to be more involved in the food prep and shopping and all of that. And I am going to ask you about your plans because I know they're changing. I read about that in your article, or maybe it was on your blog. But you are right now working full time. You also run and play in sports. How do you feel, or have you ever had an issue with having enough energy to train hard and to maintain your healthy, active lifestyle?
You know, I will say that when I first tried, you know, a vegan diet for the very first time, I didn't do it the right way. Like I said, the vegan diet in and of itself is not necessarily healthy. You know, if all you eat is a salad every meal, you're definitely going to, and you maintain an active lifestyle, you're going to find yourself with a calorie deficiency.
Right.
So that was the issue up front. But as I continue to educate myself and learn that, you know, if you eat some more of these, you know, healthy starchy vegetables like potatoes and, you know, a lot more of the beans, you know, and some of these alternates, you know, different soy and tofu based products are definitely going to help you get a lot more of the calories and the wide range of nutrients that you need. So, you know, ever since I've really adopted the whole food plant-based diet versus just a vegan diet, I haven't had any issues at all. You know, I continue to run and play football every week and do all the things that I've always done. And I haven't had any issues in terms of, you know, fatigue or, you know, a lack of protein, muscle loss, none of that. And you'll find that there's, with a pretty simple search on the internet, you can find a ton of athletes that have been successful in adopting a vegan lifestyle as well. And your listeners may know this name, Scott Jurek, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Well-known runner.
Yeah. And I guess he actually wrote a book, Eat and Run, that details, you know, his life and also his transition or adoption of a vegan lifestyle. Yeah. So I definitely recommend that as well to your listeners.
I think he has been interviewed on this show, but I would like to have him back because he's been doing this for a long time, eating this way for a long time. And that's one of the questions I have about going vegan is how is that impacting people who have been doing this for years and years and years? And for instance, women who want to get pregnant and, you know, just the kinds of things that go through a cycle, but it's a longer cycle than just 1 or 2 years kind of thing. So I'd like to have him back. I think he's definitely a role model for us as runners.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting time. You know, a lot of that research is starting to come to fruition, I think, because, you know, although I'm sure there's people throughout the world who have been eating this way for quite a while, I think it's really the last, you know, maybe decade or two that it's become more popular and widespread and studied. And so I think that now, you know, people are concluding studies or they have the benefits of tracking, you know, people who have lived this way for, you know, multiple years, if not multiple decades, and being able to see, you know, does it really have an impact, you know, on the health of these people? And, you know, from what I've seen, from what I've read, that all the impacts, again, if they're doing it the right way, if they're still getting the calories and the wide range of nutrients they need, that it's actually had a lot of benefits. There was one paper that was published, and I can provide a link to it for you if you want, by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine in DC. And they said it's got a wide range of benefits, including, you know, 35% less risk of certain types of cancer, including prostate cancer, 32% less risk of a heart attack, 62% less risk of developing type 2 diabetes. So it seems like the research is coming back in more support of, again, a healthy whole food diet. So it's exciting times.
And what you were saying earlier about practicing and kind of developing a plan that works for you, I think that's true with any of us who want to maintain running, who maybe want to train for something that is marathon, I'm going to use as an example, where we're out for hours using a lot of energy. It's going to take some practice. It's going to take some testing. It's not going to be just overnight you're going to change to a diet like that and all of the pieces are going to come together right away. But you've made it. You've gone through that adjustment process and now it's working for you and for your lifestyle. And that's really terrific. The eating part I do think is what would get most people going in the first place. But I also would like you to elaborate a little more on the other two aspects of it. The treatment of animals, which is really, when you watch those movies or when you read articles, it's horrendous and just heinous. And then the environmental aspect of it too. I've read all of Michael Pollan's books. I love them. And he talks about that whole cycle of raising animals for food that is just so toxic to the environment.
Yeah. Touch on the first subject of, you know, the treatment of animals, you know, just throughout my life, you know, I've never been a very religious person, but like I said, I'm very science and math based and just, you know, the different things I've learned from, you know, whether it's just quantum physics type things, you know, interconnected nature of our reality, and, you know, the fact that we're all made out of the same elements and materials that are found in the stars. And, you know, you start to learn about how incredibly intelligent some of these animals, you know, whales and how they're able to communicate, you know, just with clicks and things. And, you know, it's unquestionable in my mind that, you know, every animal has a level of intelligence. It's definitely a level of consciousness that I think we should, you know, treat as, you know, precious. I think that if you realize and you really ask yourself, you know, why do I have a pet, you know, a dog that I you know, love and cherish and would do anything for, but at the same time, I will, you know, go to the supermarket and pay to, you know, support, you know, indirectly, but support the torture and slaughter of animals, with, you know, similar, if not the same or more intelligence and the abilities to perceive pain as a cat or a dog. And really the only reason for it, you know, since we now know that you can get the nutrition you need from a plant-based diet, really the only reason you would do it is for the pleasure of, you know, that the taste of that meat, right, or that, you know, dairy product. So that was really when I really came to terms with that. And I really just asked myself, you know, why would I do that? I just didn't have a good answer. So.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So go into the environmental part as well.
Yeah. So I kind of touched on a lot of the things, but, I think, you know, traditionally a long time ago, you know, I think the environmental impacts were a lot less, you know, if it was smaller family farms, you know, they didn't have as much of an impact, but it's just the industrial agriculture of our society today. It just has such a massive impact. You know, there's forests that are being completely cleared in, you know, the Amazon in Brazil to make more space for cattle. And, you know, like I said, just hitting close to home here recently, the red algae blooms and that are creating dead zones throughout the oceans. And it's just, you know, when you realize that, and especially runners, I'm sure can, you know, relate that, you know, we love spending time outdoors and we love, you know, that part of running, just being out in nature. And to know that the choices that we're making with our daily eating habits are having such a negative impact on the environment, that again was just, you know, more fuel for me to really try to adopt and understand and advocate for a vegan diet.
A vegan lifestyle. Can you talk just very briefly about your upcoming plans to travel the world? I know things are changing for you and your wife. And also the question here is how do you plan, or what are your thoughts on staying vegan on your travels?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you asked. Yeah. As I said, I am currently fully employed, full-time, here in Tampa, but, my wife and I, you know, coming up at the part in our lives where we're, really ready and excited about the idea of starting a family together, we decided that, you know, before we do that, we'd like to travel a bit more. As I mentioned, you know, in the intro, we really enjoy traveling and hiking and sightseeing, especially seeing different landscapes, different things like mountains and the different oceans and beaches. So we realized that, you know, working a regular 9-to-5, getting 2 weeks vacation each year, or just wasn't, we weren't checking off enough boxes as fast as we wanted. So we've been very fortunate financially, you know, over the last couple of years with some of our investment decisions. We invest in real estate and the stock market. And we've just reached a point where we paid off all of our last debts. And we're just at the position where we can take that chance and just go and try to see some more of the world. So, nice. At the end of, at the end of October, we're going to be leaving, Florida for, New Zealand. We're going to spend a few months there, traveling the realms of Middle Earth, and then we're gonna go and spend a bit of time in Thailand. I've got a really good friend from high school who is gonna kind of show us around that part of the world for a little bit, and then just kind of leave it open-ended and see, you know, where our journeys take us. So
sounds pretty fun. It's a good time to do that too, you know, because getting a family going and all, then just things can change, and it's wonderful to have a family, wonderful to have kids, but it does change the relationships and the spontaneity and all of that. So good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And yeah, we're definitely, the plan is definitely to maintain a vegan lifestyle on the road as best as we can. You know, we've been doing some research on that, and that's part of what, you know, we're looking forward to documenting on our blog, Life Without the Box, is trying to, you know, show that this can also be, you know, achieved even when you travel.
Yeah, I think that would be really informative and, of course, a lot of fun for people to follow you. Now, tell us the title of the article again, because it's great. It's on your blog. I'm going to give you a chance to give us that information at the end of the interview. But the article, once more, please.
Yeah, it's called Veganism, What, Why, and How. But definitely you can follow, you know, it through my different social media outlets as well, Facebook, Instagram, things like that. So,
and we'll have that at the in the show notes, so they'll be able to refer to it. If they don't get it directly out of hearing this, they'll be able to actually go and refer to it in the show notes. So, couple of options for all of you to be able to follow up on more information in that wonderful and just really, really well written article. Thanks again for doing that. We are going to change gears here, and before moving into the final kick, which I've mentioned to you, so you know it's coming, is there anything else that you want to share with us about veganism and what we've been talking about up to this point?
Yeah, I guess I would just say that, you know, I would definitely strongly advocate that everybody at least give it a try. You know, I think that for a lot of people, you know, it seems like it's just hard, or, you know, you just really don't want to give up one thing or the other. But I think if you just, you know, do some research and give it at least a try, you know, 4 weeks, maybe just commit to a month, you know, and give it a try and see if you can have some success with it. I think you'd be you would be pleased with the results. So that was my finding, is once I finally committed to it and said, you know what, yeah, I'll give it a try, I started to realize that it was definitely attainable, and that I could still enjoy, you know, foods, and that I could still maintain a healthy and nutritious life.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for sharing your information with us today. And I just have the sense that you're like so many of the people who are listening to this, and I, with you, would encourage them and myself. I guess it wouldn't hurt for me to give it a try for a month and just see how that all fits together. So we are going to take a very brief break here for an ad from one of our sponsors, and we will be back shortly. I want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of today's show, RX Bar. Like a lot of you listening, I'm always on the go, and while I really want to focus on healthy eating, nutritious foods, and all of the things that are good for me, this isn't exactly easy. I know all too well the importance of eating real whole foods, especially after a workout. But try doing this when you're scrambling to get from the gym to the store and then home in time to get dinner ready. It gets complicated, right? Many protein and nutrition bars are filled with artificial ingredients and fillers that, frankly, make them taste fake. Enter RX Bar, who makes a protein bar made from real ingredients. No added sugar, no dairy, no soy, no gluten. They are the real thing. Plus, they taste amazing. They come in 14 different flavors, from mango pineapple to peanut butter chocolate. Take their coffee chocolate bar. It's got a great natural taste, and the coffee flavor gives you a nice pickup after a hard workout. The folks at RX Bar want to give you Run to the Top listeners a special deal for trying these great tasting bars. Get 25% off your first order.
This makes each bar cost only $1.66. Try finding that price on any other protein bar on the market. To grab this 25% offer, visit rxbar.com/RTTT for Run to the Top and enter promotion code RTTT at checkout. So don't forget to grab this 25% offer, visit rxbar.com/RTTT and enter promo code RTTT at checkout.
Welcome back. We are into the final kick, and Michael Matern had a chance to learn a little bit about this beforehand. So, Michael, are you ready for the final kick questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Thank you so much. What is a favorite local run or local nature area that you enjoy being in? And tell us enough that our listeners would be able to find it in your local area and be able to do a run or a walk or whatever kind of activity they're interested in.
Yeah, so the number one spot that my wife and I like to spend our leisurely outdoor time in the area is at Honeymoon Island. It's a state park near Dunedin. And it's very easy to find on Google. It's a pretty popular place. So on the weekends, it can be pretty busy. But they've got some great nature trails that are perfect for going for a run. It's got a really long beach. If you like to do beach running, which I do, you know, you can get a really good run in along the beach. And it's just got some of the best sunsets that I've seen. So if you time it, you know, when it's a little cooler, towards the end of the day, it's just a great, great spot to just spend some time, get a good run.
Nice. Is parking pretty easy, or is it one where you want to get there early so you can find a park? Or
I've never been there where I couldn't find a parking spot. I mean, obviously the earlier the better, but yeah, you're not going to get turned away. At least I've never had that experience. So.
All right. Now, how about a book, either a book about fitness, running, or just a great audiobook that that we might want to take with us on a long run?
Yeah, so I'll recommend my top book, which I've also done a summary of on my blog. It's called The Slight Edge, and it's a book that I've read quite a while ago, but it's really kind of helped form the philosophy of my life. And it's just based on the concept that, you know, our life is the product of very small decisions that we make, you know, over and over again. And, you know, over time, it's the accumulation of those small decisions that determines the quality of our life. And that applies in every single area of life, whether it's, you know, fitness, nutrition, business, relationships, everything. So, nice. Anytime I start to feel like I'm getting into a funk, I reference that book, and I would highly recommend it to anybody.
The Slight Edge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who wrote it? Do you remember?
Jeff Olson.
Okay. Thank you very much. So a tidbit of wisdom or humor. We love humor for our runners.
Well, I was, I just wanted to share one of my favorite quotes, I guess, is, and I've got a shirt that says it, it's believe there is good in the world, be the good in the world.
Nice.
So I think that if you just, you know, embody those qualities that you admire in other people, that's the best way to influence others, is by setting a good example.
Thank you for that. It's nice and succinct too. So it's time for you to give us contact information, how our audience can reach you. Give us all of the possible spaces, website, social media, and, you know, give us your anything that you would like our audience to know about you in terms of reaching you for future information.
Yeah, sure. So my website would be the easiest way to get to the blog, and that's lifewithoutthebox.net. And then you could also follow me on Instagram. I post a lot of more travel related pictures on my Instagram account, and that's instagram.com/LWOTB. And then on Facebook, it's the same. It's facebook.com/LWOTB. Yeah, those are the easiest ways to just contact me through one of those outlets would definitely be the easiest way.
Okay, that sounds good. I did look, I think it was at your website, and saw that you had recently been in the Northwest. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. We my wife and I just did a trip to the Pacific Northwest with her family. We went to Seattle, Olympic National Park. We went along the beach. I think it's called Second Beach, and it was just an incredible trip. I'm obviously stumbling for words to describe it. So I would highly, if you're from there, I'm envious. And if you haven't been, I highly recommend a trip. It was incredible.
Quite a change from Tampa, I'm guessing. Anyway, thank you, Michael, so much for taking the time to be with us today. I think we both avoided the thunderstorms that are sort of looming in the background of both of our locations. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity.
And thank you to our audience for joining us for today's podcast at Run to the Top. As always, you can follow us at the Runners Connect Winner Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/F. And please subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify to be notified every week when the new episode is published. Michael, this has been very informative. I wish you much luck with continuing with your healthy ways of eating and best wishes on your world journey.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was to meet you, and I hope everyone found the information valuable.
I'm sure they have. Most importantly, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another great talk to entertain, educate, and inspire as you head out on your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.